Second Corinthians, Romans chapter 13, 1 to 5. I praise God for the opportunity that He gives me to continue to share His word. And also my pastor, who asked that I bring the message for today, the first Sunday of the year. Okay. And I just am so grateful that I can still do this. Though in Spanish, my words get confused. And so I told the pastor, this has to be in English. Okay? I have more freedom in the English language than I do have in the Spanish. I'm forgetting a lot of things now. And I blame the strong medication that I have to take every 8 hours, but it's also, I went to the doctor and he needed to check my head for something else, and I said, well, the hospital has the records and I had everything done. So he goes and checks in the computer and comes back and I said, what did you see? Well, your brain's getting older. So I said, well, it goes with time, brother. And honest, I thank the Lord for this part, and I want to just pray before we go on. Our Heavenly Father, without you, we can do nothing. We don't want to do anything in the flesh. But I've been told on the Holy Spirit. The words, the thoughts that you have given me all this time to prepare, line up my thoughts, that your word may be presented in a simple manner, that we can be challenged, Father, to make a difference this year. To you we give all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a manifest there. Sometimes we lose opportunities, but we all have opportunities to share, to make a difference in our lives. 2 years ago, yeah, well, 2018, now we're into 2020, but I was there. Can you believe that the Friday before Sunday, 2 days before my event right here, I went to visit a cousin of mine in the hospital. He was, later, when they took me in, 2 days later, I was in the fifth floor, he was in the sixth floor, and another friend was on the eighth floor. Anyway, I visited with my cousin, and he shared all the things that he was going to do different for the Lord. How he was going to dedicate himself completely to the Lord. And he was going to make a difference in the church. Because we were members of that little church in Mathis since we were young people. We were young. He was learning how to sing. And he was just singing like a professional singer. And we all admired him. And I am sitting there talking to him in the hospital. And he's telling me all the things he's going to do. But only God knows. Because a month later, he had a surgery done. He never woke up in months. And the Lord called him to his presence. And that touched my heart. Because he was my cousin. We grew up together. And he never got to fulfill what he wanted to do. Well, about 2 years ago, I started visiting Brother Jesse Contreras, whom God called 2 days before Christmas. The Lord called Brother Jesse Contreras. I would go to his house, and he would tell me of all the sermons he had prepared to share with his hermanos wherever God called him. He said, I'm anxious to get back. and the mountains, they never got oil again. God had other plans for him. Because everything that God does in our behalf, it is for our behalf, it is for our well-being, and for his will, purposes to be fulfilled. So we come now, we have, I believe, 108 hours of this, you know, year 2020. I added them up, and that's what it is. But it's a half a day. From 12 to midnight, it will be, 120. But 108 hours already. My wife and I, you know, we check our numbers for our health. We're going to try to lose weight. We're going to work on our sugar. Not that we're going to eat more sugar, but we don't want to become diabetic because we're already at the door. That's what the doctor says. You're at the door of diabetes. So we're going to work on that. We're going to work on several other things, which is good in us. But also in us, we should work on our spiritual condition. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay? And so, just like Paul, the church was challenging Paul. If he was really an apostle, if Christ really was in his life. So instead of examining himself, he put it back on the church and said, examine yourselves to see if you're in Christ. Amen. This is very critical and very important. I was talking to a person this week, and he was talking to me about the change that God is doing in his life. And we came to this point. He wanted to know why people wouldn't listen to what he wanted to say. And so I told him about this. I said, you are not believable. I don't know if you understand what that means. People look at you, listen to you, but they really don't listen to what you have to say because we are not believable. So, I'm going to share with you four things about making a difference and being believable. Okay? They're not listed here, but they're listed in Scripture. Okay? And the first one is true repentance. True repentance. Okay? We're living in an age where our churches no longer preach about repentance. If you want to check that out, just listen to the TV programs of preachers preaching. It is preaching about feeling good. It is preaching about making you feel good so that you can do what? Come back again. And very little is preached about repentance. So there are people among us who are in the church that have never really repented. Never. Remember John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, 7 through 8, when he began his ministry, he began how? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, repent, and I want to see the fruits, your life, different. Okay. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, when he begins his ministry, how does he begin? With the verse what? Repent. I want you to look at this verse in this, the book of Acts. Okay? The book of Acts. If you're in Corinthians, you'll go back to the left. Okay? The book of Acts. And I want you to look at chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And I want you to listen and look at our our survey, some of you may already have it circled, and it is this one. The book of Acts 17, verse 30. Listen to what Paul is telling a world that had gods to spare, statues they worship, and he's talking to them, and this is what he says. He says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent." Do you know what command is? Cuando se da una orden, Dios manda. ¿Qué? What does God command? That men repent and amends. And you know what the world and the churches are saying now? The word repent means you change your mind. Remember when you were in school and you looked at that answer and it told you that it was not right and you erased it and you wrote something else? You change your mind. And they say that's what it is. You change your mind, you accept that Jesus is the Son of God. But it's up here, mentally. You agree. Okay? It doesn't talk about sin. Doesn't talk about, you know, that sin has wages, and the wages of sin is what? Death. It just repent. In your mind, you agree with God. No change. And we have churches now, and it's filled with people that the world laughs at Christianity because truly there is no change. In order to make a difference in others, we have to come to a point that we repent. The word is penitente, ¿verdad? Una persona. Penitence. That you have sorrow in your heart. And you say, God, I have sinned against you. A lot of times people cry because they brought shame to the family. And us, we brought shame to God. And people laugh at Christianity today because Christians are really not living proof. Some have not really repented, and there is no change in their lives. Without repentance in us, there is no salvation. We have to look at our lives and say, have I done that? Is there a change in my life? Am I believable? When I talk to someone about Christ, can they see something different in my life? Number two, hermanos, this is something else. We must submit to Scripture. We must submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Do you believe this to be the Word of God? Okay? See, you have to believe it. You have to believe that what God says here, He will do. A lot of people in us do not believe that they're sinners. I remember many in my ministry, I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. I said, who says you're a good person? Well, a lot of people have told me that I do a lot of things. Okay, yes, but do you want to hear what God says? And people don't want to hear what God says because they don't want to change their way of life. Americans have come to a point that we enjoy our freedom, we enjoy our independence, and we don't want anybody to tell us how to live. However, God says that what? We're all sinners. I want you to turn again to the little books that are in the back, right before Revelation. Sometimes it's easier if you turn to the very end and then go left. And Revelation is the last book, and then go left and you come to the book of John, chapter 1. And I will read this verse. And this is what he says. He says, I'm going to start with verse 6 because that begins the whole process. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now listen to what he says some more. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Who is the him here? God. We make God a liar. Okay? And his word is not in us. We have to submit to what that this is true. In our world today, man, our world has become like that TV program, The New Normal. Okay? There are a lot of sinful things that are done, but our country now has accepted them to be right. But God says, like right there, man, a lot of people don't want to hear about the word homosexuality because they're afraid. Why? Because now they're trying to get in control of our government. They have money. They own radio stations. They're almost everywhere. One arm is even running for what? For president of the United States. See, you can offend people when you say that. But the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? What is right and what is wrong. But we don't want to hear that, hermanos. And our churches are preaching what people want to hear, not what God has to say. Why? Because if we tell the truth, the biblical truth, our churches would have very few people. Why? Because the world, hermanos, is becoming different. And we are afraid to speak out God's word. We must admit to the scripture that this is true. Okay? Because God says it. And the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have a lot of scriptures that speak about things that people don't want to hear anymore because they don't want to feel bad. I know the pastor has shared with me that there are some people that after the service, why do you preach so hard? Why are you saying these things? Who told you about me? The Bible is the one that's telling you. God is the one that is telling you. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 about. You should know Romans 10:9 by memory. Tell you to Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. And we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. You know that word Lord, hermanos? From Greek, from the Greek language, the Hebrew was translated into the Greek language. The word Lord changed, the meaning changed to time. And at that time, it came to be a word called Kurios. Kurios is you refer to the emperor and to God. Okay? And you know what that word also means? Lord, Kurios, you pledge allegiance. At school, hermanos, we used to stand there and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, you know. When we went into the military, and Brother Gus is over there, he's a veteran, maybe anybody else a veteran, you had to take a pledge. Is that right? And you promise. It's a pledge. It's a you swore on us. This is what I will give my life for. You know that now, as my grandson shares with me, he's a Marine, going on 3 years as a Marine my grandson, he says his things, okay? If we go to war, I told my grandson, continue to be very into defense and all this stuff. Read up. Because anything can happen in this wilderness. And I said, here's what he said. Some of the soldiers that are signing up today, some of them are saying, I didn't come in so I could go fight somebody. Everybody else, but, you know, this is it. Be ready. You pledge, okay? And when you say, Lord, you're pledging, okay, your allegiance, you're pledging complete obedience to Jesus. You're pledging reverent worship, that you're going to worship him. You're going to praise him. You're going to honor him. Amen. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. A lot of people know us, and we hear it in our churches. I like to look at different programs to see what their message is. And never is repentance of sin. Never told that if we don't accept Christ, you will be judged. And the Bible says, woe to that person that refuses and tramples God's love and mercy and ignores the great salvation that is provided through Jesus Christ. And then, hermanos, love the Lord and obey. Love and obey. I put them together. They're in the scripture, man. It's love and obey. You love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, what do? You obey. If you don't obey, what does that mean? You don't love the Lord. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, okay? If you read those verses all the way to 25, that's what it talks about. A lot of people, man, say they love God. Okay? Now watch. I went to a party, my wife and I went to our son's house years ago. And outside in the back patio, they were drinking. And when we got there, one of them was already completely drunk. And this is what he's saying. I love my family. I love my kids. He's stumbling around, yelling and talking loud of how much he loves his family and he loves his kids. Okay? And then he is saying, anybody messes with my family, they're going to have to deal with me. And I said to myself, he doesn't love his family. If he loved his family, where would he be? With his family. And when he gets home, he's going to be even more drunk. And everybody's going to flee like ratoncitos. They're going to go and hide because they'll be afraid of what he might do. A lot of people say they love God. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, a lot of people profess. They say through their mouths, okay, that they love God. But their lives say something different. We have to check ourselves on, do you truly love God? Now, in the book of Mark, chapter 12, hermanos, beginning with verse 28 through 34, a scribe, a lawyer, comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, what is the most important and number one commandment? You remember that story? Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. And Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love him what? With all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. And then Jesus asks one more thing. And he says what? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And the young lawyer, he said, that is correct. You pass the test. And the young lawyer now recites it himself. And what does Jesus say in verse 34? Let's look it up, guys. The Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and then Mark, okay? Mark, and we're going to look at chapter 12, because this is very important, and this is where a lot of people are, guys. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, okay? And this is really neat, because this is very true, and it's very sad, guys. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, okay, with wisdom what he had said, Jesus says what to him? He says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You're close, but you're not in. This is going to be one of the saddest things in us. And the Bible tells us that. That not everybody who says what? Lord, Lord, will enter. There are a lot of people in our churches, they think that they're saved. And you ask them, on what do you base? On what do you base this? And they say, because I was baptized. Because I'm a member of a certain church. And they say, well, what does the Bible say? I don't know. Somebody has told me that. He said, I don't know. I was talking to a person this week, and I asked him, you know, he was talking about someone who had a heart attack. I said, was he prepared? Did he know? Was he ready? He said, nobody knows. I said, have you read the Bible? No. Then how can you say nobody knows? Because the Bible says what? That we can know. The Gospel of John says, all of these things were written so you may what? So you may know. See, how can people submit to Scripture when they don't even know the Scripture? They don't know what God has to say. So this coming year, let's read the Scripture. Isn't that what the pastor is saying? Study this. This is the verses. Look at them. Meditate on them. Know what God wants from your life. I was reading a little article about our preacher who was called to God. I have that name, and it just goes away. Anyway, the wife was talking about Billy Graham, and she had never seen a man so willing to please his God. Man, I said, that is fantastic. Because the hardest person to witness to about Christ, that they may see that Christ lives in you, is who? Is the wife. That's the one that you live with, that knows your ups and downs and everything. And this is what she said about her husband. I have never seen a man that wanted to please his God so much. You know why? Because he was always reading, trying to learn more about God and what God wanted to see from him. So we're going to make a difference in us. We have to submit, okay, to Scripture. We must love and obey. We must really be through repentance. When we come to the Lord saying, I am sorry for my sin. Forgive me. You know what God does? He makes you a new creation in Jesus Christ. I ask myself this one, okay? Can I say and share that I see in our church? Everything of that was already mentioned this morning. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. because you confirm the thoughts that have come into my mind have also come into the mind and heart of others. The pastor said today, okay? The pastor said, involve yourself. Él usa la palabra involúcrense, you know? Involve yourself. Are you involved in this? You know, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 17, dice esto, hermanos. Faith without works is what? Dead. Fe sin obras está que muerta. Las obras no salvan. Las obras es el resultado que Cristo ya muere en nosotros y nosotros queremos servirlo. Works do not serve. They are the fruits of what has taken place in our lives. And we serve our God by serving people. Now, I want you to listen to this because our time is running up and we still have the looks of it. And I don't know, my wife has told me, she should go like this, okay? Because I get a little tired. That's why I'm sitting a lot right now. But it has to be said. So, be patient. And pray for me, man, because sometimes I feel just so tired. You know, it's incredible. But I feel like slowly it's coming back. I want you to listen to this. Do you serve? If you don't serve, why? And listen to this. Number one reason why people don't serve is because they're ignorant of Scripture. They're ignorant of Scripture. You know, my wife and I prayed for this couple. They're separated. And they went to church last Sunday together as a family. They're separated. And I was telling him about, do you know that God says this? I didn't know he said that. And so I told him, I'm going to give you. We bought a box of New Testaments. And we got about two left. And we're praying that people will read them. And we tell them where to read. Okay? And we're going to buy another box and pass them out. People in our churches are ignorant about Scripture. And our pastor is saying, our Sunday school teacher is saying, hermanos, you will not find better teachers of the Bible as we have here. And we continue not to come to prepare ourselves to be better servants. Ignorant of Scripture. We feel inadequate, hermanos. You know, Paul says, I can't do that. Hermanos, you're not supposed to do it by yourself. Who is going to empower you? Who has given you all you need for what God wants you to do? Do you believe that? Dios ya le ha dado a usted y a mí todo lo que necesitamos para hacer su voluntad, la obra que Él preparó de antemano. Do you think so? I'm sure with you, hermanos, that way back, 50 years ago, I was driving through a dirt road in Costa Rica. Now they got highways. But 50 years ago, I was driving from Panama to Corpus, and out of this jungle came this man with a machine gun. What do we do? What would I say? And I get off the car. I had a new car that would give me $8,000 in Panama if I would sell the car that I paid $3,000 at Ganan Chevrolet more than 50 years ago. And I walked towards him and I'm praying, God, give me words to say to this man. Because I know what a Thompson 45, I call it the Al Capone machine gun. And this is, to me, stupid words that I said. I looked at this man and I asked him, "Are you a gorilla?" I asked him that. He was a gorilla, a fighter than La Selva, ¿verdad? And he said, "Yes." And I said, "So am I." Golly! Why did I say that? "So am I." He could have killed me right there. I said, "I just finished training and became a jungle expert. I'm going to Vietnam." I didn't know that man knew about Vietnam. Tocó mi hombro, he touched my shoulder. Vaya con Dios. Buena suerte. Pase. And he let me go. He could have killed us, nobody would. To this day, they found us, sold the car, made money, and retired. But God says, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you the ones. Quickly, ones." People feel guilty. They don't feel worthy. People fear failure. Voy a fracasar, hermanos. God is not the author of failure. Unwilling to make commitments, that's a big one. Ya estamos acostumbrados a nuestra vida. Unwilling, lack of love for others. Don't care about other people, hermanos. But we already said that we love God and we obey God, see? It doesn't go. Then, hermanos, we're selfish about our time. We're selfish. You know, we already have plans. Why would God say something for me to do? This is the way I'm doing things. And then we are poor managers of our time. There's really no excuse in us that this year we would say, "Lord, let me do my best." I am sorry, man. I said, you know, I'm so used to, I just write and write and write notes. And I'm telling myself, I have to keep it short. Because I get as tired, you wouldn't believe. And I don't want to hurt myself. I'm trusting God in everything. And He's given me wisdom and He's given me life to this point. I want to make a difference in our life. Every morning, get up and say, "God, take control of my life. Control my thoughts. Guide me to somebody to share what you have done for me and with me." Every morning you ask forgiveness for your sins. Every night, when I go to bed, we say the same prayer, asking for use me, that we can love people. I would like to challenge you, hermanos, to come up with something that you can do. Your hermano pastor knows this. One year, I gave people a paper and a pencil, and I said, "What do you want different in our church?" And they turned in all of this paper, but not a single one said, "This is how I will make a difference. This is how I'm going to make to help." Nobody said how they would help to achieve our goals. The pastor can't do it all. You know how much time it takes to prepare a sermon? To write it down in order and rewrite it again? We all have to work together in us. Commit yourself this year to be a better servant. Commit yourself this year, okay, to reach for the sky, to make a difference in somebody's life. And it takes first commitment to God.